بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين أشهد لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson of this treatise, we went through an introduction. First of all, what is the title of the treatise which we are studying? In Arabic? Nawaqid al-Dhad. Nawaqid al-Islam. So these are two different words, Nawaqid and Nawaqis. One is with a Dhad and one is with a Sad. Nawaqid is the plural of Naqidun. And Naqidun means to invalidate something, to totally corrupt something. As for Nawaqis, it's the plural of Naqis. And Naqis is to reduce something. And when it comes to these actions, there are Nawaqid and there are Nawaqis. So there are some things which invalidate ibadah, and there are other things which just decrease the reward or the perfection of al-ibadah. Iman yazidu wa yanqus with a sad. Iman goes up and it goes down. Just because it's decreasing doesn't mean that it's completely invalidated, but it has gone down. So nawaqid and nawaqis. Okay, the main reason for learning these nawaqid, as I said, it isn't so we can make a ruling on other people that they are kuffar because they have gone against one of these nawaqid. Rather, the main purpose in learning these matters which invalidated a person's Islam is so we ourselves, we can be careful of them and we can stay away from them. In the previous lesson, I mentioned that takfir, holding a Muslim to be a non-Muslim or passing this ruling, is very dangerous, because it necessitates other things. Whenever somebody makes takfir of another Muslim, there's many other things which are necessitated due to this. So can anybody remember some of the rulings of the dunya which are based upon making takfir? We studied this last. Can you remember? There's no janazah upon that person. He cannot inherit from you, and neither can you inherit from him, i.e. his wealth is not inherited. In the matters of the akhirah, he's not allowed to enter into Jannah. Anything else? Yeah, so the marriage is annulled because now he's a kafir, and a divorce is called, and cannot be buried with the in the Muslim graveyard, and ghusl cannot be given, and istighfar cannot be made, and dua cannot be made, and even his wilayah, his guardianship of a woman, it does not exist anymore, and many other rulings which are based upon the issue of at-takfir. And this is why this issue is sensitive and dangerous, and we have to stay away from this thing. The author, he said at the beginning of this treatise, اعلم أن نواقض الإسلام عشرة. You should know that those matters which invalidate a person's Islam are 10. Does this mean there are only 10 matters which invalidate a person's Islam? No, there's more than 10. So why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only mention 10 things which invalidate a person's Islam? Why did he limit it to 10? Firstly, it's easy to remember. Anything else? Good. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes he would limit many things to a small number, so it's easy for people to understand, comprehend and memorize. So give me examples of things which the Prophet limited to a particular number, a small number. Some of the hadith we mentioned. Father Mustafa. No. Good. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ayatul Munafiqi thalath. The indicators of a hypocrite are 3. Even though there may be other indicators of a munafiq. Good. Anything else?
List of the major sins.
Yeah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات. Stay away from the seven destructive sins. Even though there are many major destructive sins, but the Prophet mentioned seven in this one hadith. So at least the person who is listening at that moment can memorize and understand these seven, as opposed to being told of 100 different major sins. And many other examples which we gave. Now, a person might say that why do we need to learn about those things which invalidate a person's Islam? Or, and this argument is found, why do you need to talk about shirk? Why do you need to talk about bid'ah? Why do you need to talk about the people of bid'ah? It's enough for us to just mention tawheed, or just mention Islam, or just mention the people of the sunnah. Why do we need to talk about bid'ah? And in reality, this methodology of talking about tawheed, but also talking about ash-shirk, talking about sunnah, but also talking about bid'ah, talking about the evidences of sunnah, and also talking about the doubts of innovation, this is something which the Salaf have followed, scholar after scholar. So the ulama, right from the early times, they have written books, not only regarding the qualities of Ahlul Sunnah, but also the signs of Ahlul Bid'ah. And some of them, they would write a book about a particular sect, refuting that sect and mentioning the doubts of that sect. So this is the way of the Salaf. And before this, this is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has detailed the paths of the people of oppression and deviation and misguidance. He has mentioned some of their doubts. He has mentioned some of the things which cause a person to go towards a shirk. He mentioned the stories of the prophets with these people and how they rejected the message. He mentioned the punishment which was given to these people. So this methodology of calling to the goodness, but at the same time warning against evil, this is something which is found in the Quran and also the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the Quran, Allah said, وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Allah said, verily, we detail the ayat so the path and the ways of the criminals, i.e. the people of misguidance, can be made clear to you. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how in the Quran, He has detailed for us the ayat. And why did He mention these ayat to us? To clarify the way of the criminals and the oppressors and the people of shirk and the people of kufr. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah, in his book Al-Fawaid, he has a beautiful chapter, I wish I had brought it with me, the book, in which he mentions how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He mentions both good and He mentions both evil. Both of these things are mentioned. And if you remember back to the famous hadith of Hudhayfa ibn Yaman, that he said, كَانَ النَّاسِ يَسْأَلُونَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ, that people used to ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about the goodness. وَكُنْتُ أَنَا أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ, however, I used to ask Him about the evil. مَخَافَةً يُدْرِكَنِي, because I was fearful that this evil would overcome me and I don't know what this evil is. So the way of the Sahaba and then the Tabi'een and those who came afterwards is teaching Tawheed but also warning against Ash-Shirk. Teaching Sunnah and also warning against Al-Bid'ah. Teaching the evidences of Sunnah and also exposing the doubts of Bid'ah. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah in Al-Fawaid, he mentions that when it comes to knowing good and knowing evil, there are four groups. There are four different groups when it comes to knowing good and knowing evil. He said the first group are those people who know the good very well and they also know the evil very well. And this is the best group. Because these people can then do the good and they can stay away from the evil. And these people will not be deceived because they know the goodness and they know the evil, and they're able to clearly differentiate between the goodness and the evil. So this is the first group, and this is the best group. They know the evidences of the sunnah, and they know the doubts of the bid'ah, so they're able to differentiate between both of them. He said that the second group of people are those, neither do they know the goodness, nor do they know the evil. And this is the group which is the most lost. So neither can they do good because they don't know it, and perhaps they'll fall into evil because neither do they know evil. So this is the group which is the most misguided. Those who are ignorant of good, and at the same time they are ignorant of evil. The third group is that group who knows the good, but they don't know the evil. And many Muslims are upon this. So many Muslims will know of aspects of the Sunnah, but they might not necessarily know of the aspects of Al-Bid'ah. So this group is upon a level of goodness, because they know that this is good, and therefore anything which opposes this, I need to stay away from it. So even though they don't know the doubts of evil, but because they know the goodness, they then stay away from anything which opposes this goodness. So this group, they're still on a level of guidance, but the danger with this group is that they can be easily deceived. And this is the state of many of the awam, the common Muslims amongst Ahlul Bid'ah. This is the state of many of them, the common Muslims, that they will know aspects of goodness and aspects of sunnah, but they often haven't been told that this is shirk and this is bid'ah and this is kufr. So they will do many good things, but very easily they can be deceived into doing bad things and misguidance, because misguidance can be shown to them as if it is goodness, and therefore they end up falling into it. And then the fourth group he mentions is those who know the evil and they don't know the goodness. And this group has also, of course, destroyed themselves. I.e. that group which attaches importance to knowing the doubts of the people of innovation, and knowing the state of the people of innovation, and knowing who the innovators are, knowing what are the doubts of the innovators. But when it comes to knowing the sunnah, implementing the sunnah, knowing worship, worshipping Allah, then they are weak in this. And this group is also upon a level of misguidance. So these are the four groups when it comes to knowing good and knowing evil. The first group are those who know good and evil, and they are the best, because they are able to do the good, stay away from the evil, and they can differentiate between both of them. They will not be deceived by others. The second group is those who do not know good, neither do they know the evil. And this group is misguided, because they don't know any good, and at the same time they don't know any evil, so they are ignorant, going whichever way the wind blows. The third group are those who know the goodness, but they don't know the evil. So as long as they know the goodness, they think that if we stay away from anything which opposes the goodness, then we know this is evil. So they are upon a level of guidance, but they are easily deceived. And then the fourth group is those who know the evil and the doubts of evil, but when it comes to the goodness and doing the goodness, then they are weak in this. And this is dangerous for those people. And in this lesson, after this introduction, we're just going to read through the whole treatise, because it's only two or so pages. So we're going to read through the whole treatise, and then in the next week we'll go through it in detail. And this is good, that before you start studying any particular text in detail, read through all of it at the beginning, because this will give a person context. It will contextualize everything which you are studying. So the author, Al-Imam Al-Mujaddid, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimullah, he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He said, I'lam anna nawaqid al-Islami ashara. You should know that the nawaqid al-Islam, those things which invalidate a person's Islam, are 10. Al-awwal, the first of them, ash-shirk fi ibadatillahi ta'ala, is ash-shirk in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that ash-shirk, it is sarful ibadah li ghayrillah, worshipping Allah beside, worshipping somebody besides Allah, or directing any ibadah to somebody else besides Allah. And this shirk, this contradicts Islam, Iman, Tawheed. It is the opposite. So you cannot have a mushrik mu'min. You cannot have a mushrik Muslim. There's either Muslim or there is either mushrik. There's no other group. Either a person is upon kufr and shirk or a person is upon Islam and Iman. He said, قَالَ تَعَالَىٰ Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah does not forgive for partners to be made with Him, a shirk. However, He forgives anything else for whoever He wants. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person dies upon drinking alcohol, but he was upon tawheed, Allah will forgive this. Or even adultery, or any other sins, Allah can forgive these sins. As for a person dying upon shirk, then Allah does not forgive this, because this shirk has invalidated a person's Islam, unless that person makes a tawbah. And then he mentioned the second ayah, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Verily, whoever forms shirk with Allah, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah makes Jannah forbidden for him. وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. And his final abode is the fire. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. And the people of dhulm, either people of shirk, they will have no helpers, meaning on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So this ayah shows us that Jannah is forbidden for a person who dies upon shirk and he did not make tawbah. And the shirk that we're talking about is major shirk, a shirk al-akbar. He said, وَمِنْهُ الذَّبْحُ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. And from the examples of a shirk is making dhabh, slaughtering an animal for other than Allah. كَمَنْ يَذْبَحُ لِلْجِنْ أَوْ لِلْقَبَرِ. Like a person slaughtering an animal in the name of a jinn, or a person slaughtering an animal in the name of the grave of a wali, for example. And in this principle, first the author mentions the general principle and then he gives a specific example. So the general principle is that shirk, any type of major shirk, it invalidates a person's Islam and it forbids Jannah for him. And it makes him enter into Jahannam for eternity. This is a general principle. Then the author mentions a specific example. And the reason why he gives this example is because this example, it occurs among many people. That the shirk which they are doing, there's different types. One of the examples of shirk is that they are slaughtering in the name of a wali, or they are slaughtering in the name of a prophet, or they are slaughtering in the name of a jinn, trying to keep the evil away from themselves by slaughtering the name of a jinn. He said, Athani, the second of these 10 invalidators is, Man ja'ala baynahu wa baynallahi wasa'it. Is anybody who places between himself and between Allah a middle person, a person in the middle, an interceder. So for example, a person says, Ya Muhammad aghithni, O Muhammad, save me. So this person has placed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam between him and Allah. This is kufr, clear kufr. Or a person says to a dead wali, Ya fulan, O so and so, O wali, intercede on my behalf in front of Allah. This is also shirk and kufr, because you are making an interceder between you and Allah. And all of the prophets and the messengers, they only came to remove this middle person. This was the mission of every prophet and every messenger, that these interceders that people had placed in the middle to remove all of this, so that the relationship between a person is direct with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the author said that the second invalidator is Man ja'ala baynahu wa baynallahi wasa'it. Whoever makes somebody in the middle between him and between Allah, yadu'uhum, making dua to them, invoking them, wa yas'aluhum ash-shafa'a, and asking them for intercession, wa yatawakkalu alayhim, and placing a tawakkul or dependence upon them. He said, hadha kufrun ijma'an, that this is kufr by ijma' of the ummah. Why is this? Why has the ummah, i.e. the scholars of Ahlus Sunnah, why have they all unanimously agreed that this is kufr and this is shirk and this is from nawaqid al-Islam? It invalidates a person's Islam because this was the shirk of the Quraysh. This was the very shirk of the Quraysh. And Allah mentioned this, and we spoke about this in القواعد الأربعة. So Allah said in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَا, that those people who take awliya besides Allah, they say, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ, we're not worshipping these idols, we're not worshipping these interceders. They said, إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى, except that they take us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the shirk of the Quraysh, the shirk of the mushrikeen, to whom the Prophet came and the Quran condemned them, and the Quran condemned them to Jahannam, it was this. This was their very action. That they never actually worship the idols themselves. They never believe that the idols can help or benefit. Rather, they thought that these idols are a path or an avenue to take a person close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, they would say, and these are our shufa'a, shafa'a. This is our intercession in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like some people do today. So if you tell that person, don't make dua to the wali in the grave, he say, I know that the wali in the grave cannot help, but I'm asking him to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for me. This is the shirk and the kufr of the Quraysh. This is the very shirk and the very kufr of al-Quraysh. And this is why the author said, kafara ijma'an, that this type of person has disbelieved, he's left the fold of Islam by the ijma' of the ummah. Because this was the kufr of the Quraysh. So if this is not shirk, then there's no shirk. If this action of placing somebody in the middle, an interceder, that you ask the dead person, take your dua to Allah, if this is not shirk, then there's no other shirk after this. He said, الثالث, the third invalidator is, مَنْ لَمْ يُكَفِّرَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, whoever does not hold the people of shirk to be kuffar, or shakka fi kufrihim, or whoever is doubtful about their disbelief, or sahha madhhabahum, or whoever holds their way or their aqidah to be correct, kufrun, then this is also disbelief. Meaning, a person says that I believe the Muslims are upon goodness and guidance, and I also believe that the Yahud are upon goodness. The followers of Jesus, the Christians, they are also upon goodness and Islam. And the Yahud are upon al-Islam. And the only kuffar are the Hindus. And like some of the people want to bring the religions close to each other, say that these three Abrahamic faiths, Yahudiyya, Nasrani and Islam, all of them are upon goodness. This person has also disbelieved. Why? Because this is a rejection of the Quran. The Quran tells us that al-Yahud wal-Nasara are kuffar, and they are upon misguidance. Al-Maghdub alayhim and al-Dalun, they are the ones who earned Allah's anger, and they are the ones who are misguided. Then a person comes along and says, no, I don't believe that the Yahud and the Nasara are upon misguidance. I believe that they are also upon the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said kafir. This person is also disbelieved. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told us the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمٌ, verily, there's a good example for you in Ibrahim. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, and then those people who were with Ibrahim. إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ, when they said to their people, إِنَّنَا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ, that we are free from you. وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, and from that which you worship besides Allah. And then they said, كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ, that we have rejected you. We hold you to be upon kufr. We hold you to be kuffar. So if anybody doubts the kufr of the mushrikeen, or anybody doubts the kufr of al-Yahud wal-Nasara, or thinks that they are upon guidance, then that person also left the fold of al-Islam. Because this person is rejecting the message of the Quran. Al-Rabi', the fourth invalidator of al-Islam, he said, the author, مَنْ اِعْتَقَدَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ هَدْيِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَكْمَلَ مِنْ هَدْيِهِ, whoever believes that the guidance of somebody else is better than or more perfect than the guidance of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَأَنَّ حُكْمَ غَيْرِهِ أَحْسَنَ مِنْ حُكْمِهِ, and whoever believes that the laws of other than Islam or other than the Prophet are better than the laws or the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. كالذي يفضل حكم الطواغيت على حكمه فهو كافر. Like a person who gives precedence to the laws of the tawaghit, i.e. the laws of the kuffar over the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person is also a kafir. So notice the states which the author mentioned. That a person believes that the guidance of somebody else is better than the guidance of the Prophet, or more perfect than the guidance of the Prophet, or more appropriate to this time than the guidance of the Prophet. Or he believes that the guidance of some, or he believes that the laws of somebody else is equal to the laws of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is also kufr. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never spoke from his own thinking. He never spoke from his own desires. لا ينطق عن الهوى. He never spoke from his desires. إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. It is only revelation which he spoke with. So if somebody believes that the laws, the man-made laws of a particular person, a particular philosophy or a particular nation is better than the laws which the Prophet ﷺ came with, then it's as if this person is saying that these man-made laws are better than the revelation which Allah has sent. Because the laws which the Prophet ﷺ came with were not from his own thinking or his own philosophy, but they were revelation which would come to him. He said, Al-Khamis, the fifth invalidator is man abghadha shay'an mimma ja'a bihi rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Anybody who despises or hates anything which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with, walau amila bihi, even if he did that action, kafar, he has disbelieved. So for example, a person prays but he hates the prayer, this is kufr. Even if he prays, even if he prays all of the prayers but inside him he hates the salawat al-khams, then this is kufr. And this in reality is something which is very dangerous. So even as youngsters, as youth, when our parents, when they tell us to pray, the young brothers, when our parents tell us to pray, you shouldn't have in your heart that my dad is forcing me to do something which I don't want to do. I hate these prayers, I don't want to do them, because you could be falling into kufr. So this is where we have to be very, very careful, especially the young brothers, that when your parents are telling you to do something which is Islamic, then you have to learn to love that thing. And a part of loving Allah is loving His legislation, loving His laws. And Allah said in the Quran, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. And this is because they hated what Allah revealed, so Allah invalidated all of their actions. So hating something from the Sharia, even if you do that thing, it is kufr. Now hating something is different to finding something difficult. These are two different things. So a person, he loves fasting, he loves praying Fajr, but he struggles with fasting, he struggles with Fajr, he struggles with the other things. So struggling is part of the deen. And the more a person struggles, the more reward there is for a person. So we have to differentiate between finding something difficult and hating something. Hating something from the Sharia, even if you do it, this is kufr. Struggling with something and finding something difficult and then doing it is an avenue for your reward to be increased. He said, As-sadis, the sixth invalidator is, Man istahza'a bi shay'in min dini rasooli sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whoever mocks or jokes about anything from the religion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, أو ثوابه أو عقابه كفر. Or if he mocks or jokes about some reward which is mentioned in Al-Islam, or some punishment which is mentioned in Al-Islam, he said kafar. This person has also fallen into disbelief. He said, وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the evidence is the saying of the Most High, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to those people who are mocking Islam, is it regarding Allah and His ayat and His messenger which you were joking over or which you were mocking? He said, لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Don't make excuses. Don't say you were only joking because you have disbelieved after Iman. And this ayah, we'll go into it in more detail, but it was revealed regarding those people who were mocking the Sahaba. when the Sahaba, when they left for the Battle of Tabuk, the Munafiqun at that time, they were mocking the Sahaba because of how some of them were overweight or some of them were like this, and therefore this ayah was revealed. So mocking anything from Islam, even the smallest thing, it may be the hijab or the niqab or the beard or not allowed to make al-isbal, it could be some reward in punishment, it could be some reward in Jannah, it could be some punishment in Jahannam. Mocking anything from this, it is kufr. And this is also a dangerous fair. This is a red line. And we can never approach this. And not only is it dangerous for a person to mock and joke himself, but even looking and watching and listening to those comedians now who are on TV, Muslim comedians, and they joke about Islam, it's as if they have nothing else to joke about. Meaning, can't they joke about their own selves? Why don't they joke about their own fathers and their own mothers? Why don't they joke about themselves? Why is it after they joke about Allah and joke about His Messenger and His ayat? Is there nothing else for them to joke about? And this is why Allah said, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Say, is it only regarding Allah and His ayat and His Messenger you find a joke to make about? There's everything else you can joke about, but you joke about Allah and His ayat and His Messenger. So this is a red line that the Muslims we can never accept. So if we see this type of joking, let's say the TV is on at home and there's this comedian and he's joking about it. You have to show your anger for the sake of Allah. You turn the thing off. You don't laugh. You don't allow your children or your wife to watch this show. You have to turn this thing off. He said, As-sabi', the seventh thing which invalidates a person's Islam, as-sihr, is magic. وَمِنْهُ الصَّرْفُ وَالْعَطْفُ. And then he mentions two types of sihr, and that is as-sarf and al-atf. As-sarf and al-atf are two opposites. So as-sarf is when you have, for example, a husband and wife, and the magician uses the jinn to cause them to hate each other, to try to break their relationship. This is from sihr and this is kufr. And atf is the opposite. Atf is when the magician, when he uses the jinn and the shayateen to try to bring two people to have feelings for each other. This is also kufr. And the reason why a sihr is kufr, the reason why this type of black magic is kufr, is because a person can only do sihr by using the shayateen and the jinn. And a person is only able to use and utilize the shayateen and the jinn by doing acts of a shirk. So this sahir, this person who is involved with the shayateen and the jinn, before the shayateen and the jinn listen to him, he has to do acts of shirk in order to entice them and become close to them. After many, many acts of shirk and dirt and impurity, will he then start cooperating with the jinn and the shayateen amongst them. And this is why a sihr is kufr. And when it comes to a sihr, we have to differentiate. So the sihr which is kufr, the magic which is kufr, is the magic of shayateen and jinn. Then there is the other type, what's called magic today, and in reality is trickery. It is trickery of the hand or sleight of the hand and tricks using certain potions or things like this or effects. This is not kufr, but it is still a sin. So in any case, whether it is the sihr of jinn shayateen, which is kufr, or the magic of trickery, camera tricks, this is still something which is haram. Because the least case with this is that it is a type of deception, ghish. And this is not from the ways of the Muslims. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man ghashana laysa minna." Whoever cheats us, whoever deceives us, is not from us. So this type of ghish and khiyan and talbis, deception, trickery, cheating, this is not from al-Islam. Therefore, it is still haram. Also, because of how much it resembles the real shirk, the real sihr. Because of how much it resembles the real sihr, it is also dangerous. And thirdly, exposing your children to these magic tricks. If today it is this they are watching, then tomorrow they're going to watch the real shirk, the real sihr, which involves jinn and shayateen. So in all cases, whether it is trickery of the hand or camera effects and things like this, or whether it is what they call black magic, all of it is haram. He said, والثامن, and the eighth invalidator of a person's Islam is مظاهرة المشركين ومعاونتهم, is supporting the people of shirk and aiding them over the Muslims. So whenever a person, he supports the mushrikeen over the muslimin in falsehood, then this is also kufr, invalidates a person's Islam. And this is if he does it for the sake of their religion, meaning he intends by this aid and support that he wants the religion of the kuffar to overcome the religion of the Muslims, then it is kufr and it is shirk. As for a person aiding and supporting the kuffar over the Muslims before the matters of the dunya, then it is a sin, but it is not kufr. It does not take a person out of the fold of al-Islam. And Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, that whoever aids and supports them, i.e. the mushrikeen over the Muslims, فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, then verily he is from them. And this is because at-tawalli, this supporting and aiding, the asl of this tawalli is mahabba. There is a love in the heart for the religion which they are upon, and therefore this tawalli, it takes place. He said, at-tasi', the ninth invalidate of Islam is مَنْ اِعْتَقَدَ أَنَّ بَعْضَ النَّاسِ يَسَعَهُ الْخُرُوجَ عَنْ شَرِيَةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, whoever believes that it is allowed for some people to not live by the Sharia of Muhammad صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, like Khidr عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, he did not have to live by the Sharia of Musa عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, this is also kufr. Because the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, he was sent to all of mankind that they have to live by his Sharia. Even when Isa alayhi salam will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah, before Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will not come and implement his own Sharia, rather he will come to implement the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it has abrogated all of the previous Sharia. And Allah said in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, inni rasulullahi ilaykum jami'a. He ordered the Prophet to say, O mankind, I am a messenger to all of you. From the time of the Prophet up until Yawm al-Qiyamah, every single person has to follow the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So if anybody believes that me, because I am such a wali, I don't need to do certain aspects of the Sharia, this is kufr. Or it is permitted for this group of people to be under the Sharia of Isa, not be under the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is kufr. And then the 10th invalidator, he said, Al-i'radu an deenillahi la yata'allamuhu wa la ya'malu biha, is for a person to completely turn away from al-Islam. Al-i'rad, to completely turn away from al-Islam. Doesn't know anything about Islam, doesn't learn anything about Islam, has no acts of goodness, does not do any action of al-Islam, then this is also kufr. Because Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِهِ, who is more oppressing than a person who is reminded of the ayat of his Lord, ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا, and then he turns away from it. And it is sad that there are some people who ascribe to Islam and they are like this. There are some people in our communities and they have nothing with them of al-Islam. No prayer, no fasting. They don't know Tawheed, they don't know Sunnah. Maybe the only thing which they pray in the year is just the Eid prayer. Just the Eid prayer. And apart from the Eid prayer, there is no Salah, no Siyam, no Zakah, no Hajj. There's nothing from al-Islam. So leaving a particular obligation, this is not kufr, this is a sin. But to completely leave the actions of Islam and learning about Islam, the author said kafir. This is also an act of disbelief. And then he said, to finish, he said, وَلَا فَرْقَ فِي جَمِيعِ هَذِهِ النَّوَاقِضِ بَيْنَ الْهَازِلِ وَالْجَادِ وَالْخَائِفِ إِلَّا الْمُكْرَةِ, that with regards to these 10 invalidators, there is no difference between a person who was serious about doing them, or he was only joking about doing them, or he was fearful and that's why he did them. There's no difference. All of these people are kuffar. Whether a person did shirk seriously, or whether he did shirk just jokingly, or whether he did shirk and he was just a bit fearful, all of this is kufr. There is no excuse. And the only excuse is al-mukrah. And the mukrah is the one who's compelled to do it. So not somebody who's just merely fearful, but somebody whose life is in danger. And this khawf, this fear has to be real. So it shouldn't just be, well, if I did this action, people would laugh at me. This is not al-ikrah. There's somebody, a gun is held to his hand. If you don't bow down to this idol, I'm going to shoot you and take your life. In this situation, it is allowed for a person to do this act of kufr, but he hates it in his heart. Because Allah said in the Quran, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Except for a person who is compelled to do something, forced to do something, but his heart is tranquil with al-Islam. So if a person is in this level, that he's forced, there's a real danger upon his life, upon his family, then he can say a word of kufr. Then he can do an action of kufr. But in his heart, he is a believer. He said, فَيَنْبَغِي لِلْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَحْذُرُهَا وَيَخَافُ مِنْهَا عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. That every Muslim should be careful of these 10 invalidators. And he should be fearful over himself regarding these 10 invalidators. He said, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ مُوجِبَاتِ غَضَبِهِ وَأَلِيمِ عِقَابِهِ. He said, we seek refuge in Allah from those things which bring about His anger. And we seek refuge in Allah from His painful punishment. وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّنَا وَسَلَّمُ